Blog Talk Radio.
Baruch Hashem, this is Fundamentally Mormon coming to you live on this 30th day of October 2018. My name is Mark Lichtenwalter and I am your host. Today we're going to be continuing on with Chapter 6 of Judas Iscariot, which is entitled The Holy Ghost Before Pentecost, and this is Part 1 of that teaching. To read this for free online, you can go to ogdenkraut.com and click on Read Ogden's Books, and then scroll down to Judas Iscariot. We are on page 48, and I will continue. I will begin the reading now. Also, I guess before, we are on Facebook Live, and we are also on Blog Talk Radio. The guest call-in number for the radio show is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. There are 100 lines available for people to listen during the live streaming portion of this radio program. And also, you can find the text to each of these videos or radio show podcasts by going to Zion's Redemption Bookstore, which is a page on Facebook. I try to post all of the text to each video, whichever, what I'm reading. But in order to hear the commentary, you either have to read or listen to the radio show or watch the video. So, and I will also be trying to post this on my YouTube page, which you can find for free to listen and watch at youtube.com/user/ God is my compass. And the channel name is Messiah Ben Joseph. Or you can find it by looking for Mark Lichtenwalter or Ogden Kraut. So let's get into Chapter 6. The Holy Ghost before Pentecost. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, or the Ruach HaKodesh, shall not be forgiven unto me. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. This is Jesus speaking. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, or the Ruach HaKodesh, or the second witness of the Father, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Matthew chapter 12, verses 31 and 32. Did Judas Iscariot sin against the Holy Ghost when he betrayed the Savior? Did the apostles have the Holy Ghost before the day of Pentecost? This is one important aspect of the betrayal of Judas, and a most important consideration in any religious betrayal. The seriousness of Judas's betrayal is a very significant question. Did he bring about the death of Christ, our Messiah, by sinning against the Holy Ghost, or the Ruach HaKodesh? The question of sinning against the Holy Ghost is an unforgivable, and unpardonable sin. Therefore, is it an important aspect in the crime of Judas's betrayal? Considerable confusion exists both as to what the Holy Ghost is and when it was given. So Joseph Smith taught that there are three divine beings at the head of this earth. These three beings are God the Creator, who is known as God the Father, God the Redeemer, who is known as God the Son, or the only begotten Son of God, who is Yeshua ben Yosef, ben Yehovah. Ben actually means son in Hebrew, so the son of Yehovah, basically, the only begotten of the Father. And then you have the third member of the Godhead, who is God the Witness, or the Ruach HaKodesh. What does Ruach mean? The set-apart one, the set-apart breath of God, the one who testifies of the truth of all things. That's the Holy Ghost. That is a person, as we find in Doctrine and Covenants, section 130, an individual who at the time of that revelation had a spirit body, and according to Joseph Smith, was waiting to take himself a body and do the same or similar things as Yeshua, Jesus did. All right, so let me get back to the reading here. Considerable confusion exists both as to what the Holy Ghost is and when it was given. Most religionists say that it was not given until the day of Pentecost, or Shavuot, which means 50. Pentecost is a Greek word which means 50, and it's the 50th day after the counting of the Omer, and it's one of the spring feasts. However, the following 10 scriptural references and logical deductions should clarify whether Judas had sinned against the Holy Ghost in his betrayal of Yeshua HaMashiach, who is Jesus the Christ. Or on page 49 of Judas Iscariot, chapter 6. Number one, analyzing the scriptural source. The basis for most religionists who believe that the Holy Ghost had not been given to the apostles until Pentecost, or Shavuot, comes from only one passage of Scripture, which reads, quote, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they believed on, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus had not been yet glorified." Now, it's really interesting. Okay, the scribes who wrote down the scriptures and translated them, they actually added this part. So let me just read what the scripture is, and then we'll read what the note is, because it's always in parentheses. Another way to tell if something is not actually scripture, but is actually a note that has been put in by the scribes, you'll see it in italics. It's either a note or something to help clarify the context, because in English, well, Hebrew, like you'll have Jehovah Elohim, and in English they will make it the Lord your God or Jehovah your Elohim to help with the flow of the English translation. But here's the scripture, and then I will stop and we'll see what what's in parentheses. "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters." Here's the parentheses that people take as scripture as well. "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus, Yeshua, was not yet glorified." End quote. That's John chapter 7, verses 38 and 39. It is significant to note that the last verse begins and ends with parentheses, indicating this passage was probably added later and was included by some uninspired translators years after the scripture was written. The Apostle John, or Yochanan, most likely never wrote it in the original text. By reading the inspired translation of the Bible, by Joseph Smith, we get a clearer rendition of the meaning of this passage in parentheses. Quote, "But this spake he of the Spirit, which that they believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was promised unto them who believe after that Jesus was glorified. John the Baptist said that he would baptize the believers, but that Messiah, or HaMashiach, would baptize them with fire and the Holy Ghost. He was, of course, speaking of the early ordinances of laying on of hands for the bestowal of the gift of the Holy Ghost, not some mystical or outward manifestation. The prophet Joseph said that people often believe that if the Holy Ghost was given, that they expect to see some wonderful manifestation, some great display of power, or some extraordinary miracle performed. But that is not always the effect of the bestowal of the gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift of tongues, prophecy, healing, etc., are only a part of the gifts of the Holy Ghost, or the Spirit." Joseph adds, "Sometimes they spake in tongues and prophesied in the apostles' days, and sometimes they did not. The same is the case also with us in our administrations. While more frequently there is no manifestation at all that is visible to the surrounding multitude, this will appear plain when we consult with the writings of the apostles and notice their proceedings in relation to this matter. Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. It is evident from this that some of them were ignorant in relation to these matters, and or they would not need instruction. But suppose the gifts of the Holy Ghost were immediate upon the interposition of hands, enjoyed by all, in all their fullness and power, the skeptic would still be as far from receiving any testimony upon, except upon a mere casualty as before. For all the gifts of the Spirit are not visible to the natural vision, but understanding of man, indeed, very few of them are." I gotta say something. When Sir Yeshua, our Messiah, was resurrected, he appeared to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And he taught them, and they did not recognize this was Yeshua, who the Gentiles called Jesus, talking with them. And this was before the day of Pentecost. Yet, when their eyes were opened, the disciples saw and understood that this was Yeshua who was speaking to them. And he disappeared from them, and the one disciple looked at the other and said, "Did not our hearts burn within us?" As if to say, we should have known it was him. Because when Yeshua is in your presence, you will feel a burning in the bosom. It is a sign and a fruit of the Holy Spirit testifying to you of the presence and divinity of Yeshua in your presence. And this is all before the day of Pentecost. So, you know, that's one evidence, but look, we'll continue reading. "But to come to the other members of the church and examine the gift as spoken of by Paul, we shall find that the world can in general know nothing about them, and that there is but one or two that could be immediately known if they were all poured out immediately upon the imposition of hands, teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith, page 245. "Too often people expect to see some bizarre manifestation as an evidence of the Holy Ghost, as was demonstrated on the day of Pentecost with the gift of tongues. But Joseph added, the gift of tongues is the smallest gift, perhaps of the whole. And yet it is the one that is most sought after." Excuse me. "The greatest and best of the and most useful gifts would be knowing nothing about the best and most useful gifts would be known nothing about an observer." Interesting. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 246. I got to go off on a tangent again. Okay, so everybody talks about the gift of tongues, which actually drives me a little bit nuts, because the text says that the disciples, everyone heard them in his own language. Not that they were speaking in the tongue of angels. Now, there's three main ways that you can receive the gift of tongues. One of them is to speak the Adamic language, or the language of the angels, or the language of God. The Adamic being the language of Adam, for Adam spoke with God face to face. Another one of the gift of tongues is to speak in a foreign language so that when you speak, others can hear you in their language, which means that you're speaking in their language. Okay, and the third way that you can receive the gift of tongues, which is actually the most common way, is when you are speaking by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I've done this many times, especially when I'm giving talks at a church, you know, from behind the pulpit, or I'm teaching people. I will speak as the Spirit leads me, and it's like I'm used as a vessel for the Spirit to speak through. That is another one of the gift of tongues. But how the disciples in the book of Acts spoke, which everybody talks about as the gift of tongues, they did not speak in some other language. Everyone heard them in their own language, meaning many people speaking many different languages heard them in their own common tongue as they spoke. This should be more spoken of as the gift of hearing, not the gift of tongues. It's just it's something that kind of irritates me about modern culture, where they all talk about the gift of tongues. Now, there is a gift of tongues, like I said, but that doesn't mean that that's what happened at Pentecost or Shavuot. Anyway, continuing, hence the apostles of Messiah could have enjoyed the gift of the Holy Ghost or the Ruach HaKodesh, and no one would have observed it. There were many gifts that were enjoyed by those who have the Holy Ghost, such as miracles, prophecy, and visions, etc. And the apostles also enjoyed them before the days of Shavuot, Pentecost, as we will observe later. Number two, the definition of the gift. It was the prophet Joseph Smith who was the first to reveal the best and most correct understanding of what the Holy Ghost is when he said, quote, I have always declared God to be a distinct personage, and Jesus Christ, Ruach HaKodesh, a separate and distinct personage from God the Father, and that the Holy Ghost was a distinct personage and a spirit. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 370. Also, in the revelation received by Joseph Smith, which the Mountain Saints in Salt Lake, the Brighamite Saints, in their Doctrine and Covenants, section 130, it says that God the Father and Jesus both have bodies, resurrected bodies, which is interesting because the Father has a resurrected body too, just in case people were wondering, but that the Ruach HaKodesh or the Holy Spirit actually has a body of spirit. But like I said before, Joseph Smith said that the Holy Ghost was yet in a state of probation. Okay, and everybody's like, well, that means he's lying. No, it means that he was in a state of spiritual probation. Joseph Smith also said that the Holy Ghost is waiting to take himself a body and do the same or similar things as the Savior had done, meaning he will get a body as well and come on the earth. And when people talk about, you know, when Jesus warned people not to blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, part of it is that they shouldn't reject him when he comes. So, and I get way more into detail with that. Let me just pass that up for the time being and continue on with the reading of this book. So I got to say it. When Moroni came to Joseph Smith in his cabin, you can find this in Joseph Smith History, chapter 1, because there's only one chapter, verse 40 and on around that point. Joseph Smith, Moroni said that that the man of Acts chapter 2, verse 23, no, it's chapter 3, verse 23, 22 and 23 is Messiah, but the day had not come when they would reject him. Okay, so a lot of people don't understand what the meaning of the word Messiah is. David was anointed by the prophet Samuel. I think it was Samuel or Nathan. He, David, King David, was an anointed one of Jehovah. That word anointed is HaMashiach or Mashiach. Jesus Christ, or Jesus Yeshua HaMashiach, is a holy anointed one of Yeshua, or I mean of Jehovah. People don't know this, but I have received this teaching from God that after the 40-day and 40-night fast of Yeshua, the Holy Spirit took him upon a high mountain and he knelt before the Father and was anointed of the Father. He is the anointed of Jehovah. And I know that people have a problem with Jesus Christ, you know, not like Jesus Christ and Jehovah are two separate individuals. One is the Father and one is the Son. And go into detail on that. But Ether chapter 3 says, Jesus says, I've never showed myself to anyone before this point, Mohanrei Moriankimer, the brother of Jared who's speaking to. But Jehovah was all over the Tanakh and the antediluvian world before the flood. As somebody who walked face to face with Enoch and Adam and others. And after the flood, Jehovah ate dinner with Abraham and wrestled with Jacob. With a resurrected body, and Mohanrei Moriankimer hears Jesus say that he is a spirit being and that he will, you know, come in the meridian of time and gain his body at that point. Also, in the Lectures of Faith, we know that Jehovah spoke face to face with many. It goes on a big old list about, you know, who Jehovah spoke with face to face. Yet after the flood, during the time of the Tower of Babel, Mohanrei Moriankimer, the brother of Jared, hears Jesus say, I've never showed myself to anyone before this point. So anyway, I'm just going off on these tangents. I need to get back to the reading. I wish I could just share everything that I know, but that's why I go off on tangents. The prophet analyzed the effect of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost by saying, quote, this first comforter or Holy Ghost has no other effect than pure intelligence. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 149. I gotta say it. God the Father has two anointed witnesses because it is by the mouth of two or three witnesses that every word will be established. Yeshua, our Messiah, the only begotten of the Father, who the Gentiles call Jesus the Christ, is the first apostle or witness of the Father. Others had seen him, but Yeshua himself was anointed directly by the Father and became a man like unto Moses to gather the people spiritually and lead them from the bondage of death and hell. He is Messiah ben Yudah ben David. The second witness of the Father, who is known as the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Holy Ghost, has also taken himself a body to come and do the same or similar things as Yeshua himself did, as the second witness of the Father. And when he is put to death in the streets of Jerusalem, as it speaks of in Revelation chapter 11, and the whole world sees these two prophets, these two witnesses, raised again in glory, in resurrection, and caught up to the throne of Jehovah, the Holy Ghost will have a resurrected body at that point. The Ruach HaKodesh, God the witness, who is the second witness or apostle of the Father, who is spoken of in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 11. So, a little more information on the Ruach HaKodesh there. When he adds, then he adds, quote, a person may profit by noticing the first intimation of the spirit of revelation. For instance, when you feel pure intelligence flowing into you, it may give you sudden strokes of ideas, or that by noticing it, you may find it fulfilled the same day or soon. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 151. We are on page 52 of Judas Iscariot, chapter 6. Continuing, page 52. From this description, we must conclude that the Holy Ghost is a revelator and therefore will lead into all truth. This flow of pure intelligence is a power and influence that directs the affairs of the church, the ministry, and indeed the disciples of Yeshua, our Messiah, our Christ. Wherever they are, Christ, I don't like using the word Christ because Christ is Greek for smeared with oil. It does not mean the same thing as HaMashiach or Mashiach, which means to be anointed of God. So whenever I see Christ, I just throw in Messiah, even though Ogden writes Christ here. I hope he'll forgive me, but Messiah gave a commandment to his disciples. Actually, so we were talking about this earlier. There are many Messiahs. David, then Jesse, was anointed of God. He was a Messiah. Anyone who was anointed with oil in an ordinance of a priesthood blessing, when you receive your first or your second anointings, they are, according to the Hebrew language, a Mashiach or a Messiah. But HaMashiach is referring to Messiah ben Duda ben David, who we know as Yeshua, our Messiah. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Messiah. And others can be a Messiah. But, you know, so anyway, I'm sorry, I'm having a little bit of a problem here. When it says Christ gave a commandment, the Christ or the Messiah, Yeshua, gave a commandment to his disciples that they should rely upon this gift when they were confronted by their enemies. Quote, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Matthew chapter 10 verses 19 and 20. And when you treasure up the words of God as read in the scriptures or through personal revelation, and the time comes that you are preaching or when you are conversing, trying to help people to understand the truth of Jehovah, of God, the Holy Spirit will use that treasure within you that you've treasured up, that knowledge, and speak through you using the gift of tongues. And sometimes, like I've said before, like I will be teaching, and after everything is done, I don't even hardly know what it is that I've taught, because it is not me that is speaking, but it is God that is speaking through me. So we have 90 seconds left on the live streaming portion of the radio program. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. And in order to listen to it on air, like if you're listening to the radio program, you can either go to facebook.com/LAZURUS1977 and watch the live streaming portion of the radio program. Or you can call into the guest line, but the live streaming portion will cut out in less than 60 seconds. That's 917-889-8827. In the latter days, it was the same Spirit that should guide the missionaries. Quote, neither take ye thought beforehand what ye shall say, but treasure up in your minds continually the words of life, and it shall be given you in the very hour that portion which shall be meted unto every man. Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verse 85. The Lord also wanted the church meetings to be conducted in this by the same power when he revealed that the elders are to conduct meetings as they are led by the Holy Ghost. Doctrine and Covenants, section 20, verse 45. And this is something that I have a problem with. It's okay to prepare talks. But when you are preparing them, if you are up on the stand and the Spirit leads you, you need to follow the Spirit. Because it's either you are going to, I mean, you can learn something by preparing talks. I actually say everybody should prepare talks whenever they can, right? But if God wants you to speak a message to the people, He is going to put it in your head as you're speaking so that you can speak. And if you have treasured up His word in your mind continually, He will bring it out. And you can have faith that He will give, will speak through you, and maybe say something that somebody needs to hear in the congregation or to the people you're teaching. So we should all be studying scriptures every day, as much as we can. And like with the missionaries, one of the reasons they study scriptures, like when I was a missionary, we got up at 6 in the morning, and we started off by having breakfast or getting ready or whatever. But by 6:30, for 2 hours, we had an hour of personal scripture study time and an hour of companionship study time. Because when you wake up in the morning, you have a temporal mindset. And in order to get into a spiritual mindset, you have to actually pick up these scriptures and read them and get revelation and inspiration and learn by the Spirit the things that you need to, so that when the time comes where God needs to speak through you using the gift of tongues, it is treasured up and ready for you. You know, it's all in there. God can't just pull something out of an empty head. That's never, you know, you've got to actually put the stuff in there. So anyway, and furthermore, but notwithstanding, those things which are written, it always has been given to the elders of my church from the beginning and ever shall be to conduct all meetings as they are directed and guided by the Holy Spirit. Doctrine and Covenants, section 46, verse 2. The Lord also revealed in a clear and clear definition and understanding of the Holy Ghost when He said, quote, "And this is the example unto them, that they shall speak as they are moved upon by the Holy Ghost. And whatsoever they shall speak when moved upon by the Holy Ghost shall be Scripture, shall be the will of the Lord, shall be the mind of the Lord, shall be the word of the Lord, shall be the voice of the Lord, and the power of Elohim, God, unto our salvation." Doctrine and Covenants, section 68, verses 3 and 4. To believe that the Holy Ghost was not given until the day of Pentecost, Shavuot, would be admitting that nothing spoken or written prior to that time would be considered Scripture, or the mind and will of God. Indeed, if the Holy Ghost was not given until the day of Pentecost, Shavuot, we must conclude that Messiah did not have the Holy Ghost either. Even though we read that when He was baptized, the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKodesh, descended upon Him like a dove. Number 3, Pentecost and the Holy Spirit. It was 50 days after the resurrection of Christ that Pentecost was celebrated as the harvest feast. Pentecost means 50 in Greek, Shavuot. The feast is called Shavuot. I'm hope I get this into people's heads. Yeshua spoke Hebrew, not Greek. He was a Jew, not a Greek or a Roman. Anyway, it was a one-day celebration of the law of God or Jehovah given at Sinai. Oh, yes, Shavuot. Okay, what is Shavuot? It is the anniversary of when Jehovah, our Elohim, gave the law at Mount Sinai. On the 50 days of deliverance, or the 50th day of deliverance from Egyptian bondage, I'm like trying to read these things in English and thinking of the Hebrew words. So I'm sorry, I get a little tongue-tied when I do that because I'm thinking of what it actually says and then trying to like read the English. And anyway, many Israelites gathered to Jerusalem from many different nations so that when the apostles arose to speak to them, God, through the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh, gave them utterance in the language of those who heard them. The Israelites may have enjoyed the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost, which caused them to be amazed and marvel at such a strange influence. Because guess what? When it was poured out like fire upon the people. Others who were not the blood of Israel were mocking and said, "These men are full of new wine." You know what new wine is? Okay, everybody's like, "But these men are full of grape juice?" No. Any wine that had been harvested, who had not yet been a year old, is new wine. Fermented wine. Like these people that think that Jesus changed water into grape juice, they don't understand the fact that pasteurization of grape juice was not available until the 1800s. And any grape juice which is a day old is already fermenting. And you cannot stop that process unless you know how to pasteurize it. You know, so whenever it talks about them drinking wine, guess what? New wine, even if it's new wine, it's not grape juice. Excuse me. It's wine with alcohol in it. Get over it if you can. Right? Anyway. A similar experience occurred in this dispensation of the Kirtland Temple. Brother George A. Smith arose and began to prophesy when a noise was heard like a rushing mighty wind which filled the temple. And all the congregation simultaneously arose, being moved upon by an invisible power. This is a pouring, outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the Kirtland Temple, which did not happen in the Nauvoo Temple or any other temple, by the way. Many began to speak in tongues and prophesy. Others saw glorious visions and beheld the temple was filled with angels, which fact I declare to the congregation. The people of the neighborhood came running together, hearing an unusual sound within, and seeing a bright light like a pillar of fire resting upon the temple. Guess what that was? I gotta fix this real quick. We're in my video here, but I need to plug that in, and hopefully I can make it work. Close. Okay. That was the Shekinah glory of God coming upon the Kirtland Temple. The only temple in our dispensation which has had the Shekinah glory of God come down upon a temple in our dispensation was the Kirtland Temple as a sign that it was acceptable unto Yehovah, our Elohim. This never happened in Nauvoo. Let me read that again real quick. And the other thing too, when is it ever that anybody speaks in tongues in the congregations of Ephraim today? When is it they prophesy? Anybody who prophesies in the church today will be told, "You're not allowed to do that because only the prophet of the church is allowed to prophesy," which he doesn't do either. No revelation has come forth in our dispensation since the 1880s and 1890 revelation. Not one. All the rest are thus saith, are to whom it may concern, whatever. But let's read this again. What Brother George Albert Smith arose and began to prophesy. Okay, hold on. Brother George A. Smith arose and began to prophesy when a noise was heard like a sound of rushing mighty wind, which filled the temple, and all the congregation simultaneously arose, being moved upon by an invisible power. Many began to speak in tongues and prophesy. Others saw glorious visions, and I beheld the temple was filled with angels, which fact I declared to the congregation. The people of the neighborhood came running together, hearing an unusual sound within and seeing a bright light like a pillar of fire resting upon the temple, the Shekinah glory of God, and were astonished at what was taking place. This continued until the meeting closed at 11 p.m. Doctrinal History of the Church, Volume 2, page 428. This manifestation occurred years after the church had been organized. The gift of the Holy Ghost had been enjoyed by many members for years prior to this time, but on this occasion it was of greater proportions and more visible effects were noticed. So it was on the day of Pentecost. Thus, the gift of the Spirit may often be bestowed upon people, but it does not signify that they will be noticed by others. For all the gifts of the Spirit are not visible to the natural vision or understanding of man. Indeed, very few of them are. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 243. But then to say that the men always prophesied and spoke in tongues when they had the imposition of hands would be to state that which is untrue, contrary to the practice of the apostles, and at variance with the Holy Writ. Excuse me. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 243. The manifestations displayed on the day of Shavuot, Pentecost, were to convey intelligence, and the power of the Holy Ghost, Ruach HaKodesh, was to convince them of the truth of the gospel. The manifestations at Pentecost, Shavuot, were not a proof that they had received the Holy Ghost. If so, it would be the proof of whether we have it now or not. If the gift of tongues was evident that they had the Holy Ghost, it is evident that nearly all so-called Christians and Mormons today do not have the Holy Ghost because they have never spoken in tongues or prophesied. The Prophet Joseph Smith stated, "The kingdom of God was with them before the day of Pentecost as well as afterwards, and it was also with Yochanan, the Revelator, John, and he preached the same gospel and baptism that Yeshua, Jesus, and the apostles preached after him." Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 274. The gift of the Holy Ghost. There is a considerable difference between the Holy Ghost and the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm almost out of time. I'm going to have to just leave it at that. We're going to leave it at the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm almost out of time. I don't know what to do about that. Time's flying when you're having fun, right? So anyway, I've only got 45 minutes on the radio program, and we are right at time to end. So thank you for listening, everyone. Take care. God bless. And shalom.